you guys are doing great. I hope you guys are having some green beer and some corned beef. I personally do not like corned beef. Howdy, neighbors. It's Bree and
Amy.
Okay, that was totally me. Anyway, it's just me this week. I'm pulling an Amy out of my back pocket, and I'm going behind her back and recording without her. Because I was a little sad about that. But anyway, Amy's got a lot going on this week. So, and I had already done my story, and it was supposed to be designated for St. Patrick's Day, which is today. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And I didn't want to save it for the following week. So I'm going to go ahead and tell my story. Crap, that means I have to start my story for this week now. This story was technically supposed to be last week. Oh, shit. Anyway, that's fine. It's all fine. Everything's fine. So I believe I talk about this pretty much every single St. Patrick's Day that we've had, but I mentioned a specific video on YouTube that was put out years ago, and it's a news reporting of leprechauns in Alabama, and I don't think I've actually played the clip for you guys, so I'm going to use that as my neighborhood story because it is so funny. I'm going to just play part of it. You can look it up. It's just look up leprechaun in Alabama news report. It is hilarious. So here it is.
Real say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All you gotta do is look up in a tree. Who else is a leprechaun? Say yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got home to the wrong stuff.
This lady?
And he told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We're gonna get down to the bottom.
All right, that's all. That's all I'm going to play for you guys. Again, go look it up. Is leprechaun news story in Alabama or whatever. It never ceases to, like, it always makes me laugh. Like, that video is the best. It always puts a smile on my face. But anyway, do you believe in the leprechaun? I don't know. Maybe. I always set a trap for my kid. Let my kids set a trap, and they try to catch it. They never seem to catch it. So, you know, sometimes it leaves behind lucky charms. Sometimes it doesn't. I don't know. But anyway, let us know if you believe in the leprechaun or if you have any folklore about leprechauns. So I may have actually talked about leprechaun folklore last year. I can't remember. I don't know. Anyway, so this year I am going to talk about the Dublin Hellfire Club. Bum, bum, bum. I'm really excited for this story, by the way. So, the Hellfire Club is located in an old building slash structure. I don't know if you want to call it a building. Like, it's definitely a building, but, like, it's had damage done to it. So, it just looks like a structure. It obviously was a very, very old building. But, yeah. So, it's on top of Mount Pilar Hill in County Dublin, Ireland. The original structure had an ancient passage grave. I guess it's like a tomb for like multiple graves. So before this was even built, there was like a tomb there for like multiple graves and stuff, and there was like a memorial there of stones stacked up on top to like signify that it was there. So that is until 1725 when Mr. Moneybags William Connolly came along and built a hunting lodge in this place. He took down all that stuff and like built it on an ancient burial ground, essentially. So like, we're talking poltergeist here. So it's said that he destroyed the memorial and used those stones for his fireplace. Like, wow, what a really big slap in the paranormal face. So sometime later, the roof on the lodge was blown off in a storm, and it led locals to believe that it was the spirits getting back at him. When he died, the building was sold and became a meeting place for the Irish Hellfire Club, which was founded in 1735 by Richard Parsons, a man known to dabble in some black magic. No one knows for sure if this actually happened or not, but there's just a lot of speculation that this actually all happened here. But people believe that the members of the club worship the devil, and during their meetings, they would leave a chair unoccupied for the devil and drink scathling, which I really wanted to drink for you guys. But it's, I mean, even I have a little bit of rule about drinking hard alcohol before noon. It's not even noon yet here. So scathling is a mixture of whiskey and hot butter, which I really want to try. Maybe I'll try it on, maybe I will try it on St. Patrick's Day, and I'll post a picture. So I'll let you guys know how it tastes, and I'll put some green food coloring in it to make it a little more festive. I'm sure they didn't do that, but you know, got to be festive where you can be festive. So it is believed that they would perform satanic rituals, including animal and possible human sacrifices. What's crazy? So there are lots of legends that came out of this place. Obviously, it's very old. And, you know, with the Hellfire Club being there and for that time period, there's going to be lots of different crazy stories and speculations. So let's go on a little adventure here down a road where I'm going to tell you about something that's it pertains to my story. So over the past couple weeks, Charlotte, my oldest, my five-year-old, you guys know I homeschool. So we have been learning about nouns, verbs, and adjectives. It's a new awakening for me. I know what all this stuff is. However, it's just, you know, now I see nouns and verbs and adjectives in every sentence that I read with everything. So she's doing really good with it, by the way. Good job, Charlotte. You're doing awesome. Keep it up. She knows how to describe things with three different adjectives. She knows what a person, place, or thing, or animal is. And then she knows an action word. Anyway, so I couldn't help but read. There's different, like I said, there's different legends, different tales that came out of this place. And I couldn't help, but every time I read these things, I kept on making Mad Libs in my brain and replacing certain words in these. And I was like, man, how funny would it be to make a Mad Lib out of this legend? So for those of you that saw my post on Facebook, that is why I was asking for answers for Mad Libs, because I was using your answers. So I have four tales to tell. I'm going to tell you the Mad Lib versions, and then I'm going to go back and I will tell you the correct versions. One of these is Amy's. You guys can guess which one is Amy's too if you want. I won't tell you which one. It's probably pretty obvious. So we're going to start with the first Mad Lib / tale. Okay. One tale from this place is about a young dog feeder who was curious to find out what happened here. The dog feeder was invited in one evening by Princess Aurora and allowed to witness the night's activities. That sounds really dirty. The next morning, the dog feeder was running and fat, and according to the tale, he spent the rest of his life unable to swim or even remember his own Barbies. Oh my gosh, it's terrible. Okay, I'll give you a hint. That one came from the brains of my 5 and 3-year-old Charlotte and Natalie. Thank you guys. So I was testing Charlotte on her verb, noun, and adjective skills, and she did good. She did good. Natalie picked Aurora. All right, Mad Lib number two. One of the most known stories here is very similar to another story I've shared in episode 60 or 76 on Loftus Hall. So go back and listen to that one if you want, if you're feeling festive for St. Patrick's Day, episode 76. And I think the episode before that is also St. Patrick's Day themed. Okay, so last St. Patrick's Day, as legend goes, during a game of Hungry Hippos between club members and Theodore, blah, 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 blah. As legend goes, during a game of Hungry Hippos between club members, Theodore Roosevelt joined in. When one of the players dropped their keys, it was revealed to them that under the table, they saw Theodore Roosevelt had nail beds instead of feet. That sounds really disgusting. When they discovered this, Theodore Roosevelt disappeared into a ball of golf clubs. Just like that. Poof. Golf clubs. How do you even do that? And also, Theodore Roosevelt makes another appearance. Okay, tale number three. Johnny Depp is suspected to be considered the worst man at the Space Needle. He made a pact with the devil to give up his deodorant within 7 years in exchange for his rug. But when the devil came to collect at Mount Pilar, Johnny Depp then tripped the devil and fled. Nice. Also, I could just see, like, I'm sure you guys can all see it too. I can only see Jack Sparrow running his run and then tripping the devil and just running away with his deodorant in hand and everything. Okay, last and last and final tale, Mad Lib tale. Another popular tale is when your mom went to visit a local farmhouse and went to uncover activities in Kansas. The next morning, she was found smashing. The farmhouse host and the local priest believed they had hunted, so they decided to investigate the basement. Upon arrival, they had seen a sock laid out in a goopy banana slug prowling the freaking room. But the banana slug was no ordinary banana slug. It was very large and it had horns in place of its eyelids. Being a prepared priest, he grabbed his handy dandy hammer out of his pocket and decided to attempt an exorcism. The result tears the beast apart. Outside, the host is found mixing on the ground, his face and beer belly deeply scratched by claws. Can I just say? Anytime from here on out, I need to make sure I remember to do this. Anytime I have a story with folklore in it and there's legends, quote unquote legends, that are not like proven true and that are just like a wild story, I'm going to do this from now on out or from here on out because this is freaking hilarious. I don't know if anybody else does this, but I'm thoroughly enjoying this. So also, if you don't know what a Mad Lib is, go look it up because you're dumb. My brother didn't know what a Mad Lib is. And sorry, Matt, but you need to understand Mad Libs. So Mad Lib is basically you get like a story and it tells you to pick like a noun, verb, adjective, an adverb, whatever. And so, or sometimes they have like, they're more specific where they say like, pick a specific person, pick a body part, pick an occupation. And I kind of was a little bit more specific so they can make a little bit more sense, but they don't always come out perfect. I thought it was weird that the host was found mixing on the ground, but you know, whatever, it's fine. Maybe it's slang for like, maybe he was just like breakdancing on the ground. Now I have that in my head, but anyway, that is what a Mad Lib is. If you don't know what they are, go look them up. They're very entertaining. There's actually an adults Mad Lib app where obviously you can like throw in like more inappropriate things. That's pretty great. So yeah, those are the Mad Lib versions. And I'm going to tell you the real tales now. So tale number one, get prepared to not laugh. Oh my God. Now I'm just going to be thinking about the Mad Libs the whole time. But anyway, okay. So tale number one, a young farmer who was curious to find out what happened here was invited in one evening by the members and allowed to witness the night's activities. The next morning, the man was found trembling and terrified, and according to the tale, he spent the rest of his life unable to speak or even remember his own name. So no fear, guys. There's no Barbies involved in that story. Or Aurora. Tale number two. During a game of cards between club members, a stranger joined in. And this is the one that is similar to the one at Loftus Hall. It's essentially like the same exact story. So during a game of cards between club members and a stranger joined in. And when one of the players dropped their cards, it was revealed to them that under the table, they saw the stranger had cloven hooves instead of feet. And when they discovered this, the stranger disappeared into a ball of flames. No golf clubs. Tale number three. Simon Luttrell is suspected to be considered the worst man in England. Evidently, they wrote a book about him, so I don't know. He made a pact with the devil to give up his soul and within 7 years in return for settling his debts. But when the devil came to collect at Mount Pilar, Luttrell distracted the devil and fled. Tale number four and the last one. A young man visiting a local farmhouse goes to uncover activities at the club. The next morning, he was found dead. His host and local priest believed that he had been murdered, so they decided to investigate the club. Upon arrival, they had seen a banquet laid out and a black cat prowling the room, but the cat was no normal cat. It was very large and had horns in place of its ears. Being a prepared priest, he grabbed his handy dandy holy water, no hammer, out of his pocket. And just, there could have been so many things that you guys could have put for that. Just saying. I mean, you didn't know the context, but you could have said so many other things. So he grabs his holy water out of his pocket, attempts an exorcism, and the result tears the beast apart. Outside, the host was found lying on the ground, his face and neck deeply scratched by the claws. And that was the last of the tales. Now, at some point in time, the building was heavily damaged by fire. There are many stories on how or why it happened, but one says that the club set fire to the building when William Connolly's son refused to renew the lease on the lodge. That's logical. Let's just go burn it down because he's not going to continue keeping this lodge open. Cool. So an alternate story claims that the club members did this to give the building a more hellish appearance. Another story, and that'll definitely do it. Like, just go burn it to the ground. That'll make it look fiery and evil and terrible. And also give it that smell, the barbecue smell. Another story recounts that following a black mass, a footman spilled a drink on Whaley's coat. Sorry. Whaley retaliated by pouring brandy all over the man and setting him on fire. The fire spread around the building and killed many of the members. So following, the club relocated and their activities slowed down. In 1771, the Hellfire Club was revived for about 30 more years. Members Thomas Buck Whaley, son of Richard Chapel, along with members of the club, kidnapped and murdered and ate a farmer's daughter. I don't know if that's true, but it was in there, so I decided to add it. Whaley eventually repented, and when he died in 1800, the club disbanded. So let's get on to the spookiness, if that wasn't spooky enough for you, eating a person. Okay, it's cool. All right, so it isn't uncommon to come to the club and find evidence of current rituals, like present rituals and carcasses, animal carcasses, Ouija boards, fires, even blood. Also, according to some reviews, you can also find lots of dog poo, trash, and condoms. People suck. Y'all need to clean up your crap. Anyway, I thought that was really, that made me mad. I was like, really? Come on, people. Like, clean up your shit. Clean up your dog shit. Okay. So on Amy's Crypt on YouTube, I checked her out and decided to watch her investigation on it. And she discussed that the most popular legend regarding the devil's appearance there. And it's also said that if you walk backwards around the building three times, that the devil will appear or something spooky will happen. Of course, they did this to test it out. Nothing happened, but that is something apparently people do there. So if you're ever visiting and you want to feel really spooky, go walk around it backwards three times. But if you don't want the devil to come, I do not suggest it. Okay, so according to many investigators and visitors, you can feel it's common to feel negative energy and cold spots. Some have experienced emotional changes, feeling of becoming physically ill, like throwing up. One of them had mentioned throwing up during overnight on YouTube. You know, the group with Matt. What's his name? Matt Reif. They do such a good job on their investigations, and they are hilarious. So it's like a group of you. Like it's like it just makes you feel at home. I don't know. It makes me feel at home watching them because they're just like these good buddies and they crack up, but also they're like terrified to do their own job. So y'all should check them out on YouTube. But they were doing an overnight investigation and they experienced the feeling of being grabbed by an unseen force. They explored the club with some other more experienced investigators and ones that have actually like investigated the place already. And they had mentioned experiences with like shadows and other things. They had also mentioned at one point when they were investigating the club, a man who claimed that he was communicating with the devil had attempted to join in on their group investigation, and they couldn't like tell that he wasn't a part of the investigation because he had like a hat on and it was like dark and rainy and stuff. And so they just figured he was a part of the group. But at one point they're like, who is this guy? And they're like, I don't know. And he had a bag with him and they asked him to open up his bag and it had like nothing but knives in it. So he said he was waiting for friends. I don't know. But they're like, no, you can't. You gotta go. You can't join us anymore. So later on that day on the news, it was reported that a man had slit a woman and a man's throat at the club in public in front of people. And he met the same description and told the police that the devil appeared to him at the club and said that he had to make sacrifices. Very spooky. On overnight, after one of the members made a joke about going to have a conversation with the devil, he's like, I'm going to go have a conversation with Satan. And then he walked down the stairs and a rock got thrown at him. This also happened on Ghost Adventures. I didn't get a whole lot of information on Ghost Adventures. I'd seen that one in the past, so I didn't recount the episode, but overnight was giving me a lot of information and I really liked it. So after this happened, they had immediately seen a figure like on the SLS cam, like on the a stick figure, right in the same spot where that had happened. The word devil was caught on the spirit box along with a lot of other things. And overnight they had a very intelligent, responsive and active session with whatever was there with the REM pods and K2s. It claimed it was a demonic presence. It specifically said it was not ghost. It was demonic. Visitors have reported seeing orbs, figures, shadows. They have been grabbed, felt temperature fluctuations, heard disembodied footsteps, voices, hissing and growling. And that's all I got for you on the paranormal. As of today, the building has been unoccupied or unused for over two centuries. You can go there. It is quite a hike from what I gather, because the stairs that were going up to it are now gone. So you got to kind of hike to it, and they kind of got lost in the woods on overnight. It was funny. And evidently it is an amazing view of the city during the day and during the night. But at night. They say that people have reported unusual smells and just a strange atmosphere. Some even discover traces of satanic rituals. So be careful if you go there in the night, because people might be there doing some things that they probably, you probably don't want to walk in on. And I'm not, and also note that I did say there were condoms there. So not just satanic rituals, but personal satanic rituals. Wow. Anyway, so yeah, this is way too long just for me by myself. It's almost 30 minutes in. I pretty have to edit out one thing, one freaking thing when my 3-year-old came in here to ask to watch YouTube. I was going to let her, but now I'm not going to because she came and interrupted. So anyway, it's fine. Everything's fine. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Be safe. Have a good time. Drink a bunch. Again, be safe, though. I'm going to try this scathlane with the butter. That sounds, I feel like it's going to give me heartburn. Oh, my God. I should probably take a Tums before. I'm going to take a Tums before. Wow, I'm old. Anyway, oh, yeah. And check out my, if this video gets posted, check out my Riverside merch. This is being recorded on Riverside. Thank you guys for the merch. I mean, it's pretty plain shirt, but you know, it's cool. I'm excited to represent. So yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day. And have you checked in on the neighbors lately? Oh wait, that's, have you checked in on the neighbors lately? Wait, let me do that better. Have you checked in on the neighbors lately? What's with the neighbors? Bringing Amy out. See, I did it by myself perfectly. Oh, say hi to our cats for us. Don't get dead. Meow. That's all, folks. Boop, boop. Psh. How do I stop this?